Welcome back to the sound blaze of Traversity, Demons and Demigods, Book 2 of A Bridge of Doom. If you like what we provide, please rate, review, share, and follow on your favorite platform. Questions and compliments can be sent to our email.
Of all the podcasts in all the internet and all the world, you had to tune into this one. Well, buy me a coffee. If you don't, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, and for the rest of your life. Here's listening for you, kid.
This theater is not about profits, but the equipment and media do require funds. Though listening to these productions is free for you, providing them isn't free for me, as we are completely free of advertising. If you care to help, please buy Rick Blaine a coffee via the coffee.com website listed with the descriptions of each episode. All proceeds go to our production material needs. Special thanks go to our first coffee angel, Juanita Paz Chalacha. And thank you truly for listening.
Step through the gateway and enter the universe of the Harkin Theater.
This is episode 15.
Traversity, Demons and Demigods, The Journeys of an Enchanter.
Chapter 14. It was over a modest feast in the tavern that evening when Gawain told the story of his adventure in the other world of the Prince of Light. His audience, consisting of Clough, Flayna, Thasgar, Gon, Ablui, Trimble, Glan, and anyone who cared to lend an ear, was for the most part wrapped in the descriptions.
Dr. Prince?
Clough and Trimble appeared particularly disturbed at hearing of the drow and the warlock
from our world were involved.
While Thasgar and Gon showed interest at first, then disapproval at a weapon such as the enchanter described.
They called it a gun.
A clumsy random device that made slow, deep wounds of poison.
And was loud, but not very good at aim. Though they did hit me.
Oh,
they decided there was no honor in the use of such.
I agree with that, Gon. No honor. A tool of cowards.
Still mentally disoriented from his journey, Gawain found he had to take long pauses in which to partake of the meal. Talking of his activities in Paul's world made him feel as if he really weren't all back. As if some part of him lingered behind, held by a chain of doom. At one such resting point in his tale, he took up a partial loaf of bread and, to the interest of his companions, carefully cut two neat slices, instead of the accepted etiquette of tearing off hunks with one's hands, placed these side by side on the table.
What are you doing?
What's he doing?
Had Thasgar cut some slabs of meat for him.
All right. How much you want?
Place the meat on one slice, then covered it up with the other.
If you're trying to hide the meat, 'twon't work. I still see it.
No. This is a delicacy of the other world.
Delicacy?
Delicacy?
Delicacy.
It's called, He had to think about it, having heard the name only once. A dirt switch. That doesn't sound right. His friends also frowned their doubts at the name. Perhaps the translating effect of the transfer key has muddled my perception of the name.
Why dirt? Why a switch?
Do they eat dirt in such a way? Or switches? Who'd want to eat a switch unless you don't like the tender meat you beat?
God. Waiting for the laughter to subside, Gaewon gingerly picked up the delicacy.
I think it is just a name, which I'm sure I've gotten wrong, and has nothing whatsoever to do with the soil or a whip, but it's not a bad combination. Here, try it.
He passed the wad of bread and meat down the table, everyone sampling it. There was approval.
Good way to keep your fingers from getting greasy.
Very neat. But we can't go calling it a dirt switch, Gaewon. Somehow that name doesn't set my mouth to watering.
Good point. Let's think about a more suitable name, shall we?
The table was beset with thoughtful expressions as everyone mulled over the puzzle, yet even after Gaewon prepared another one and placed it uneaten on the table just so they could look at it, no one could really decide what to call this strange new idea from another world. Suggestions invariably brought up more questions about what was what. Others in the tavern gathered to see what all the commotion was about. Two of the cooks came out of the kitchen and decided they liked the idea, mentioning it would be a good way to not have so much leftover bread. But again, the problem of what to call it. Just as Gaewon was regretting bringing up the dirt switch to begin with, Clough finally offered a plausible solution.
Clearly this is something placed between two other things. A piece of meat between two pieces of bread. Now, you can't exactly say which piece of bread holds the meat.
He turned the dirt switch upside down and back again.
Or which covers it, because you can switch it, right? So the meat is really betwixt the two.
Heads nodded around the table as eyes lit up in response.
Makes sense.
Therefore, that might be what is meant by saying switch, you see?
Gaewon sat back and smiled happily at Clough.
Therefore, I propose we call this a twixt.
He looked at his friend for approval and received an appreciative nod.
Oh, twixt. Twixt.
Could you make different kinds of twixt?
Certainly. This would be a meat twixt.
Clough lifted the top slice of bread, took out the meat, and replaced it with cooked vegetables from a nearby bowl.
And this would be a vegetable or green twixt, and so on.
Gon was munching a twixt and sipping his drink contentedly.
They're good together.
Thus is born the Brass Dragon's soon-to-be-famous meal, the Trisk and Twixt.
Soon, Clough quieted them to offer a pledge of thanks.
Hold it. To the man who brought us the twixt.
He raised his mug with everyone to Gaewon, who sat with arms crossed, looking utterly amused by the whole affair. The brightest stars still shone through the fading cloak of night as the sunrises neared. Ablui, robed in the bright raiment of his station as freethinker priest, stood in the center of a stone bridge across a small stream in the old forest west of Hopetown, his holy talisman, the silver 12-rayed star encrusted with bluestone dimly reflecting the approaching dawn. Nearby, Clough, wearing his best tunic, breeches, and sash, waited with Ob Louie. Both men watched the sky silently as the many small birds of early morning chirped and chattered in their hunt for breakfast. When a wisp of cloud overhead began faintly glowing pink, trumpets sounded, declaring the special day. Clough and Ob Louie looked to each other and exchanged nods. It was time. Ob Louie reached out his hands to either side of him and held palms over two silver bowls resting on the waist-high stone wall of the bridge. One bowl held water, the other held lamp oil. With a glance at Trimble as he approached, he stepped back. The mage gestured his fingers almost absent-mindedly, and suddenly there was a small fire in the second bowl. Other witnesses took their places. Thasgar, Gon, Terstal, Wist, Glan, and Marshal Garnett, with several of his deputies and their children, all dressed in their finest clothes, and they waited the arrival of the two to be married. Three flutists in cheerful garb, complete with bright feathers in their hats, followed Gawain as they played. Barefoot and wearing new, simple, belted robes of blue-tinted linen, the enchanter and Flaina converged on the bridge from separate directions, joined hands as they looked into each other's eyes, smiled, then moved to stand before the priest. Clough then unsheathed his sword and knelt on one knee, resting the blade's hilt on the ground, the blade's point to the sky.
All that come to me shall be lifted up. We of soul, who have converged at this point in our physical life paths, are present to witness the bonding of Gawain and Flaina in matrimony. Here on the bridge of destiny, between dark and light, night and day, what has come to pass and what has yet to be, from this point onward they shall walk the path of life together.
He dipped his right hand into the bowl of water and sprinkled drops before the couple.
The way ahead of you is blessed with the water of life, and you each shall find comfort and protection in the circle of the other.
They stepped forward upon the water drops, then knelt together while holding their heads up. Wetting his fingertips again, Ob Louie touched their foreheads lightly, making a circle over the space between their eyebrows.
The breath of God and the touch of spirit have opened the eyes of soul, and they recognize the path they will follow together.
He then passed his hand through the fire and pointed to the horizon.
The way ahead of you is illuminated by the light of God, the spheres of divine fire by day and the stars of heavenly fire by night stand as testament to this promise to the far reaches of eternity. For man and woman are lords of creation and must in turn become redeemers of these lower kingdoms by becoming a channel for that which is holy, the divine love of God. They are joined before the blue star, symbol of the eternal light and sound of God, testament of the divine love of God in their lives. My son, look into this woman and speak. This woman to whom I join is the light of my world and the power of my heart, and I must keep truth in my heart.
Gawain looked deep into the hazel eyes that gazed lovingly back. This woman to whom I join is the light of my world and the power in my heart, and I must keep truth in my heart.
For when one turns from the light, he is in darkness. When one loses truth, his heart weakens. My daughter, look unto this man and speak. This man with whom I join is the light of my soul and the fire in my heart, and I must keep love in my soul.
Flaina lost herself in the enchanter's eyes of gold-speckled blue.
This man with whom I join is the light of my soul and the fire in my heart, and I must keep love in my soul.
For when one forgets love, the way becomes dark and perilous.
Abalui reached over and lifted two rings from beside the bowls and handed them to the couple.
Gaewon, place your ring on Thelena's finger and speak. This ring is a symbol of my eternal love for you. This golden circle represents our holy bond of marriage as complete, unending, and forever embracing.
This ring is a symbol of my eternal love for you. This golden circle represents our holy bond of marriage as complete, unending, and forever embracing.
Thelena, place your ring on Gaewon's finger and speak.
This ring is a symbol of my eternal love for you. This golden circle represents our holy bond of marriage as complete, unending, and forever embracing.
So it is witnessed that divine love has penetrated into their soul and is manifested by their devotion and this promise to each other. They are children of the day and shall be celebrated.
At this point, with their eyes on Abalui, Gaewon saw a light of the priest's eyes he had never seen before, and it seemed that just for the briefest instant, his face looked different, as if someone else stood in his place, and he was smiling. He wondered if Thelena saw the same. Abalui reached hands skyward, then placed them on their heads.
In the name of God, the center of eternity, I declare the bond of divine love between Gaewon and Thelena, and they shall be seen as consort and companion, mate and partner, husband and wife.
The enchanter took his new wife in his arms and kissed her. As the newlyweds released each other, they were immediately surrounded by their friends and received hugs and kisses all around. The first beams of light from the suns washed over the gathering, the heavens providing their silent blessing upon the wedding of Gaewon and Thelena. Traversity, Demons and Demigods, Part 1. Sound plays of the second novel were written, recorded, directed, mastered, and produced by Kurt Paul Hotelling. Copyright 2024. Character voices for Episode 15 are performed by Darcy Aradell, Richard Hammer, and H. the Great and Powerful. The Sextology of Novels are available through Amazon.com, on Kindle Books, can be ordered at your favorite bookseller, or can be purchased directly from the author. Merely submit a request to our email. The wonderful music for this episode of the Harkin Theater was composed and performed by the ensembles of the delightful Mocha Music, Evan McDonald, and licensed by PremiumBeat.com. Public domain music performances are licensed under Lieber Creative Commons. Sound effects and original Foley provided by freesound.org, Cusp Studios, and the BBC Library. This was recorded on location in the universe.